The date was December 24th, 1972. Place was Red Deer, Alberta. Ed and Darlene were meeting with a social worker to pick up their newest addition to their family. And at that meeting, they're presented with a son who is 20 days old, and his name is Richard David something. Don't know the last name. But before leaving, Richard is given a new name. He is renamed David Brent Friesen. And over the years, I have gone by a lot of different names. Even though I don't remember it, I was Richard for a very short period of time. And then I became David until middle school. In middle school, I insisted I was no longer David, I was Dave. I have gone by also the following names. David Brent Friesen. That was one that my mother liked to use when I did something wrong. I have gone by Davy. That was one that my father liked to use, which I have always hated. It's just too childish. I have gone by Dov. That one was given to me by my niece Madeline. I have gone by Uncle Buckethead. Thank you, Zach and Cadence, for that one. I've gone by Pastor Dave. And this reminds me that I am a shepherd of a flock. I've gone by Reverend Dave. Technically, that is my official title, but I only use it when I have to. I've gone by Irreverend Dave. That was given to me shortly after I got the Reverend Dave by Rachel Shalm in the youth group. I've gone by Dad. And this name is reserved for my kids, and it's one I am most proud of. I've been called a lot of other names, which I won't repeat here. And I'm sure that I've been given others behind my back as well. And while I can't control how people refer to me, I do love it when someone asks, "So what do we call you?" And most of the time, I say, "Feel free to call me Dave." In an even greater way, God has given us some names to use when we refer to Him. And today we're going to go back and take a look at the very first name found in the very first verse of the first book of the Bible. It is the name Elohim. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 and follow along as I read the opening verses. And I'm going to insert His name where it needs to be. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of Elohim was hovering over the waters. And Elohim said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Elohim saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. Elohim called the light day, and darkness He called night. The first name for God is used 2,278 times in the Bible, 32 times in Genesis chapter 1. The name means that He is the strong creator God. And when we pray to Elohim, we remember that He is the one who creatively, powerfully, completely sovereign and glorious and great, and He created everything. And the book of Genesis gets its name from the Hebrew word, which means the beginning. And by the way, Wednesday night Bible study is going through Genesis. We'll be starting chapter 18 this Wednesday. So if you wanted to join in, we'd love to have you. This book is also the background today, or for today, because many in our culture have rejected its clear teachings. And we don't have time this morning to dig into the depths, but suffice it to say that you have a choice today. You can either believe what the Bible teaches and swim against the current of our culture, or you can follow the crowd and be at odds with Elohim. So I want to look at four foundational facts about this name. And the first is that Elohim is eternal. Now, some men were trying to answer the question, where did the earth come from? And so they compiled all their data and they fed it into this sophisticated supercomputer. They pushed the answer button, and with great anticipation, lights flashed, buzzers sounded, and finally the computer spit out this answer. See Genesis 1:1. So let's do that this morning. What does it actually say? Let's look again at the first four words in English. In the beginning, Elohim. Now, this is a declaration that God has always been. He has no beginning and he has no end. This is stated so strongly later on in Deuteronomy 33. It says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Now, I want to point out that the English translation is a bit misleading. And you're going, what's misleading about this? In the beginning, God. Well, you see, the Hebrew text just states, in beginning, Elohim. You see, the word the is not there, and really it shouldn't be. So if you're one who takes notes in your Bible, take your pen and scratch it out. Scratch it out, because the word the forces us to date the beginning. And with God, there was no date. It was just whatever beginning was. In beginning, God. The beginning, God. There's nothing more to it. And that's what God is talking about. That the God whom we serve is. And there was nothing before him, and there is nothing that will outlast him. Amen? But did you notice that Genesis 1:1 is a simple declaration? Elohim exists. It doesn't provide an explanation for his existence. The Bible just assumes that he is. Folks, God is. He is eternal. It reminds me of a little boy who once prayed, dear God, please take care of my daddy and my mommy and my sister and my brother and my dog and me. Oh, and please take care of yourself, God, because if anything were to happen to you, we're going to be in a big mess. But aren't you glad that nothing will ever happen to the Holy One? He's here today. He was here yesterday, and he's going to be here tomorrow. He was, he is, and he will be. You can always count on him. In Psalms chapter 14, verse 1, it says that only the foolish doubt God's existence. It says these very words. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Ironically, we have leaders of so-called Christian denominations, the head of Christian denominations that don't even believe that God exists. I don't understand how you can be the head of a denomination, how you can be part of a church and not even believe God exists. Not sure what you're worshiping or what you're doing. But the second foundational fact is that Elohim is creator. God alone is eternal. And that which is created is not. So look at the last part of Genesis 1 verse 1. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And the word for create means to create out of nothing. There was absolutely nothing there, and it suddenly became there. And Elohim brings design out of disorder. He created the constant. He created the cosmos. He created everything out of chaos, out of nothingness. And he birthed beauty out of barrenness. And he continues to do the same with us in our lives today. Just look at a few more phrases in Genesis chapter 1. So God made the expanse. He also made the stars. So God created the great creatures of the sea. God made the wild animals. God saw all that he had made. And it was very good. Amen. It's no accident that the first thing God wanted us to know about himself is that he is the creator. The whole revelation of Scripture is rooted in this fact. From Genesis to Revelation, we see references. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth in Psalms. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands, declared in Acts. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will they were created and have their being. Revelation. From the very first verse in the Bible all the way through every book to Revelation, we see God's creative power. See, the early church viewed this doctrine of creation as the beginning point of theology. Theology is the study of God. It's a bedrock biblical belief. Its importance is summed up at the very beginning of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Former atheist Lee Strobel, in his book, A Case for a Creator, concludes that when he researched the central pillars of evolutionary theory, they quickly rotted away when exposed to scrutiny. Ironically, scholars are discovering what the Bible has always said. The universe was made by an intelligent designer, and I call him Elohim. Students, remember this. Evolution is just a theory, and many who have argued for it are now declaring that it doesn't hold up to scientific scrutiny. Let me briefly mention just two things from an avalanche of compelling information that disproves evolution. These are two fascinating things. DNA evidence. Anthony Flew, who for over 50 years has been the leading champion of atheism and perhaps the most famous of all, has recently said that superintelligent being is the only good explanation for the origin of life. He says that the complexity of nature is just too much to happen by random. In a video entitled, Has Science Discovered God?, he states this clearly. DNA has shown by the almost unbelievable complexity of the arrangements which are needed to produce life, that intelligence must be involved. He doesn't go on to say there's a God, but he acknowledges that it was done by something far more intelligent than us. DNA itself shows that evolution doesn't work. Then there's this little thing called the evidence of our consciousness. This refers to our sensations, our thoughts, our emotions, our desires, our beliefs and choices. Even Darwinist philosopher Michael Ruse candidly concedes that no one, certainly not the Darwinians as such, seem to have any answer to this consciousness and issue. Well, you know what? They may not have an answer, but we do. And that is God breathed into us and gave us his spirit. On the eve of Christmas Eve, 1968, three astronauts of Apollo 8 circled the dark side of the moon. And as they were heading for home, their tiny capsule floated through space and they gazed on the planet Earth. And what do you think they did? They didn't quote Einstein. They didn't quote Shakespeare. They certainly didn't quote Darwin. There was only one statement that could reflect the magnificence of that very moment. And as billions of people around the world listened, an astronaut acknowledged Elohim as creator, as he read these words, most likely quoting them. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. His fingerprints are everywhere. The earth is marked, if you will, by a sign that declares in bold letters, made by God. Romans 12, 21 states that the evidence for Elohim's creative power is clearly evident. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And might I add women in there as well. If you're willing to look, you will see. And because he is the creator, he is greater than that which has been created. That means you can trust him because there's nothing in your life that is greater than he is. He can solve whatever problem you have if you'll just trust in him and put your faith in him. Now, the third foundational fact is from that we see from the name Elohim is actually an allusion to the Trinity. The I am ending of Elohim makes it a plural. It's similar to cherub and cherubim. We've got cherub, which is one, and cherubim, which is many, referring to those, well, according to artists, cute little baby-like creatures that carry bow and arrows. According to the Bible, they ain't looking at anything like that. But the plural of seraph is seraphim. And here's the cool part. Although the name Elohim is plural, it is often treated as a singular noun. So those of you who can wrap your brain around this one, let me read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, and I'll explain as I read. Then Elohim, plural, said, singular, let us, plural, make man in our, plural, image. In our, plural, likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So, Elohim, plural, created man in his singular own image. And in the image of Elohim, plural, he, singular, created him. Male and female, he, singular, created them. And while this verse alone barely scratches the surface of the doctrine of the Trinity, it just introduces us into it. Here we see that God is one and yet somehow plural. God, who is eternal in nature, has always existed in three persons. And this concept is found throughout the scriptures. At the baptism of Jesus, we see God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit all present. Anyone interested in baptism, talk to me afterwards. Moving on. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to the church, he called on all three members of the Trinity when he said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. See, baptism is to be done in the name singular of three persons, plural. God the Father sent his Son to save us from our sins, and now the Holy Spirit has sealed our salvation. The Trinity makes redemption possible. Now, have you picked up yet that these first three points are, well, you could call them hot buttons? The name Elohim establishes that God exists, that he is the creator, and that he is somehow three in one. And while these three truths have their detractors, they stir up considerable controversy, there is still one more application that flows out of Elohim. And this one generates even more heat. Because the fourth foundational fact is that every person has a purpose. Simply put, every person is made in the image of God and therefore has dignity, worth, and purpose. Look again at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim, he created him, male and female, he created them. And this word created is used three times, and we're told twice that humans are made in the image of a holy God. Francis Schaeffer once said, "If I had an hour to spend with a person on an airplane who didn't know the Lord, I would take the first 55 minutes and talk about man being created in the image of God, and the last 5 minutes on the presentation of the gospel of salvation that can restore man to that original intended image." Folks, Elohim leads us to the uncompromising conclusion that life is given by the Creator and must be valued. Now, I don't quote George W. Bush very often, because usually it's not something, well, it's usually humorous. But in this case, he actually said something so intelligent. He said, "We share a great goal to work towards a day when every child is welcomed in life and protected in law. To build a culture of life, affirming that every person at every stage and season of life is created equal in God's image." And I really think that this point perhaps is one of the most personal to me. And I've often thanked God that I was adopted. Because if I had not been, there are only two other available options. One, growing up in a broken family without a father. And two, not growing up at all because I would have been aborted. With the advent of ultrasound, we can now see pictures of the preborn and watch their development as if it were a window into the womb. But you know what's cool? God told us exactly how it happens back in Psalms. Thousands of years before, Psalm 139 paints this vivid picture of thousands of years before technology. And it says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You see, David, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is allowed to take a peek into God's prenatal care unit. The "you" in verse 3 is emphatic. You created. Nobody else. God is the Creator, and He is intimately involved with us because He makes each and every one of us. So take a moment right now and look around this room at our awesome family. Look at the people next to you and say, "God created this person. This is the image of God." God is the Creator, and He is intimately involved in making each and every one of us. It's that simple. His constant concern for us is simply the natural interest that the Maker would have in a very special product. He is the owner of the preborn. They belong to Him. And here's some good news. Today, more young people than their parents actually oppose abortion. In a 2013 Gallup survey of 22,000 teenagers, it found that 72% believe that abortion is morally wrong. That's over 16,000 of them say it's wrong. Even though our parents may agree with it, they are seeing what is incredibly wrong with it. So folks, because God's first name is Elohim, He is there for us. And we can trust Him and say, He is eternal. Therefore, His existence is established. That creationism is correct. Therefore, evolution is in error. We could say that the Trinity is true. Therefore, redemption can be received. And we could say every person has a purpose. Therefore, life must be valued and protected. Amen. I am grateful that Elohim continues to recreate today. He loves to forgive. He loves to wipe away guilt and shame. And today, he can give you a fresh start if you are willing to turn to him in faith. Claim the promise of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are Elohim, that you are creator, and that because you are Elohim, you are eternal, that you always have been and that you always will be, that you are the creator God, that we are not from some primordial ooze, but from your intelligent mind you created us, from your wisdom you created this all. We thank you that you are Trinity, and that because of that we have salvation. For it was by your plan and by the Son, Jesus, of his actions of going to the cross to die for us, and by your Spirit which dwells within us and redeems us and cleanses us and regenerates us, that we have salvation. And we thank you that every person has a purpose. May we never forget that. That because you are Elohim, each and everyone around us was made in your image. We thank you so much. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.